Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What are you drinking tonight in Philly Grimes or Grady's Yard with the Snowcast?
Welcome back, everyone. It's probably been a couple of weeks since you've heard that fucking smashing tune by Ghetto Amaretto's Connor Dalton for the Snowcast. Give Ghetto Amaretto a follow on social media. They're fucking top-notch lads. And welcome back to the Snowcast. I'm your host tonight, DJ Walsh. Absolutely thrilled to be here. Basically, I know we brought out an episode in January on, but we're kicking off, in essence, season two tonight. We had a bit of bonus content in between. We're here in Grady's Yard. We've just done our first video. Do you know what? I am recharged, refreshed, and fucking raring to go with the Snowcast for 2019.
I'm nonplussed by the whole thing, you know. No, I'm really looking forward to it as well. Like, yeah, we've kind of sat back, had a little think about what we want to do with it, because we started this off as an experiment, and we had a bit of a crack with it, and we're still going to have a bit of crack with it, but we've just kind of organized ourselves a bit better,
yeah.
And we kind of like we've gotten a good bit of feedback from ye, in fairness to ye lads, and there's like a few things that you really like, some things that you didn't like, so we're kind of focusing a bit more. We're going to bring out a bit new content, such as like more interviews. I think those kind of went down really well. Maybe focus a bit more on the pubs that we're in,
yeah.
And also you kind of want to see us as well, which was kind of surprising because we're not much to look at, yeah. But I think it was not really us, but like more so our environment and stuff. So yeah, I'm kind of excited to bring that back to the forefront. Like,
yeah, we're so lucky to be in Waterford, where the pubs are gorgeous. There's so much character in them,
and their sound, and fucking leave sound. Us
and they leave us video on them, and they don't give a fuck. And like, we came in here tonight, we give no prior warning, came in, said to Victor, the system manager here, because Kevin's on holidays, any chance we'll shoot an old video there? Yeah, no bother, walk away, do what you want to do, do what you have to do, fucking sound out here, sound out. They wouldn't do it for everyone though, I'd say, just the sound lads. But yeah, video content, and you know what, the thing about it is we've had to get our act in order, because we did this as a bit of crack and thought, you know, 10-15 people might listen to this, to an old episode, and tip away, but we've exceeded our expectations. So look, we're going to try and bring you a more refined and organised product, but at the same time maintain the integrity and character that is the fucking Snowcast. Means a lot to us, your feedback and input, and thanks a million. We're here tonight, basically this is episode 2 of season 2 logistically, and we're joined by a man who joined us in season 1 episode 2. This was a recording that we were very nervous about. We brought two friends along for, and he absolutely fucking smashed it in. No doubt he'll smash it tonight before he heads off to San Francisco on Monday. moving to the big smoke, and not even the big smoke here, but the big smoke across the pond. Dara O'Donoghue, Dodd, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, lads and lassies, I'm back again. My memory is that loud that you couldn't really understand the last time. a lot more mumbling going on today, but thanks for the intro again, DJ. Tonight I'm drinking the breakfast stout for Yellow Bella Beer, my first time in Grady's Yard, first time back in Waterford now for a few months. And yeah, I'm liking it now, a bit of a beginning says on the, what's it, got another stout earlier on, the Shandon stout. And but yeah, back over to breakfast now, a bit of a sort of ale-y twist now, the oatmeal sort of hop now. I'm enjoying it now, and that'd be a good stout, man. Guinness, good old creamy beamy there now, and the best of times.
Creamy
So it's nice just to get back into the show, set me back into the podcast swing. So thanks for having me again, lads.
Yeah, those that follow us on Instagram and Twitter will have seen a picture of me and you in Ziggy Rocks in Cork there, taking before Christmas. There was many creamy beams drank that night, I can tell you that much. So yeah, we've covered video content there.
Speaking of video content, sorry, I'm the ugly fucker that the boys got in, as Darren said beforehand. I'd be the face for behind the camera anyway now, so
yeah, listen, that's a fact. So video content, so we're going to be posting video content on Facebook and YouTube, and just if you'd subscribe to our YouTube channel, it'd mean a lot to us, and engage with us, comment, let us know what you think. We'll do the smaller videos on Facebook, we'll do little snippets of YouTube videos on Facebook, and then we'll throw the full episodes up on YouTube, because to us, something we're really looking to drive on. So on all forms of social media, please rate us, like us, share us, and get the word of the Stumpcast out here. It's better than the gospel of God. Well, that's my opinion anyway. But look, we've got bags and bags of content for the gospel of Dodd tonight anyway. So anyway, Dodd, you've been very kind with your words there. You've told us you're on the snooze button by Yellow Belly, the breakfast stout, oatmeal hopped, as you very well described, 5%, lovely fucking drink to have. Owen Tab, a man who's probably stouted out at this stage, if I know you from winter, you've drank many's a stout over the last couple of months. What are you drinking tonight?
Stouted out is right. I thought I might turn into a pint of stout there over Christmas. Actually, to let the listeners know, I got engaged there before Christmas as well. Here's the Kira. So not only did I nearly turn into a pint of stout, I also nearly turned into a pint of Prosecco. But that leads me on to the pint I'm on tonight, which is a Brut IPA.
This is a smooth segue.
So this IPA by Northern Monk Brewing Company, which are a company based in Leeds in the UK, it's a collaboration beer they have as part of their Trinity series. Trilogy series. So it's malt. Malt is the name of the beer as part of the Trilogy range, and it's a Brut IPA. So it kind of looks like an old pint of champagne with a head on it. It's kind of very.
That's a brilliant description.
It is though, yeah. It's kind of
exactly what it looks like.
It's very pale and light and full of bubbles, and you do get that kind of bubbly taste off it as well. Very clean, very fresh. I'm quite enjoying it now. I think it's about a 5%er. And it's nice, and it is a collaboration with Whiplash Brewing Company. And speaking of which, segue number two. TJ, what are you drinking tonight?
So you mentioned the Whiplash Brewing Company there, and them boys are doing collaborations left, right, centre, up the wazoo. So as you said, they went off to Northern Monk and did a collab with the boys there in Leeds, and they went as far as Wexford as well and did a collab with the boys at Yellow Belly. And
they came brewing companies now.
Yeah, we called you the fucking Khaled of brewers. The Whiplash boys came down here to Wexford, had a few strawberries, and came up with this dry hopped saison that they did with Yellow Belly beer.
Called, what's a fucking saison? Do you know what it is?
It's just like a fucking a real weighty beer.
Alright, okay.
That's my interpretation anyway.
It's the season for saisons, you know.
Tis the season to have a saison. You don't see many saisons around. That's the thing. Like even like us as lads who'd go to craft beer pubs, fairly frequently. Like, you don't often see a saison on the menu. So the endangered BAP, the artwork is fantastic on it. And do you know what? It's a 5.8%. 5.8. It's so but you know what? It doesn't drink like 5.8% because it's very fruity, very citrusy. They've used some Wicklow hops in it, you know, locally sourced hops here just up the road in Wicklow. I actually insulted Wicklow an awful lot in episode 10 with Sonia. Is actually, do you know what, Mark and work, a girl we work with, Maura O'Connor, and shout out to her. She was listening to episode 10 and work today, and I heard myself slaughtering Wicklow. So I was like, Jesus Christ, I must have had a few pints of me that night.
Is Thermofecken in Wicklow?
I've no idea.
Anyway, I just want to say I love that place name. There's a few place names around Ireland, like, you know, that I really, really love, like, you know, like about 2 Mile Pothouse, you know. Yeah. You know, but Thermofecken, like, that's a fucking fantastic name for
New Two Pothouse.
New Two Pothouse. That's
yeah, what, that's the one just beyond Mallowdale on the way to Donnerail. Yeah, there's some fantastic, like, even just the ones that aren't, like, do you know, you can't be like, haha, has a horse name or like Inishkillen and like fucking places like that. Like,
horse and jockey, just
the horse and jockey, yeah.
Why not, sure?
Yeah, or the nine, what's the place on the way to Clonmel there from Kilkenny? 9 Mile House.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just, yeah. random place names, like. But this yoke, anyway, the endangered BAP. It's keg only, you can't get it on cans. Fucking lovely aroma and flavour off it.
I took an old subpoena of it there, and like, it smelt like a bunch of flowers.
It does, yeah, it's very floral, yeah, and it's
but smelled. It didn't taste, because I don't really like floral taste and stuff, like, you know. I remember I was in Manchester once before. And I went into this cocktail bar, and I got like some old cocktail, like floral cocktail thing, and in the fucking like wide brimmed glass was a flower. Like, they put a fucking flower in the glass, like, sure, just fucking ruined the fucking thing. Like,
look, be any old bee riding that joke or anything like that. For fuck's sake. Dodd, you just had a sip of the endangered bee. You had a slip of it too. A sip of the endangered bat there. What you make of it? You're not a big beer drinker, or you're just a south drink man usually. Just a man for the black.
Yeah, be so true and true and alright. But I get what Owen says about, yeah, the bit of the floral aroma, but so it hits in nice and smooth then afterwards. Yeah, it's a cloudy enough old beer, but
yeah
it's nice old texture to it then, yeah, and of course, oh, nothing too overpowerful though. I know what Owen was saying about different sort of hops and overpowerful flavours. I was expecting a bit more when I got the flavour, yeah. But yeah, no, nice cold sound is it then after that.
It feels a lot heavier than the taste, that's the thing. Like, the drinking experience is not as heavy as you drink it, when you look at it, do you know say, like, when somebody pours you a whole garden, or when you see someone drinking a whole garden and you're like, Jesus Christ, that thing looks like a meal in a glass. Yeah. Whereas, like, this looks like it might be a bit heavy, but it's actually very light.
Right, come on, stop talking about the beers, you fucking...
Let's drive on, and we'll move on to our first segment of the night.
No one gives us a shite about the beer section at all. They just want to hear us talking shite, like...
I
give the people what they want.
I reckon, I have a theory that people listen to the beer section, then just tune out for the rest of it. Fully convinced.
I think
fully
probably it's like a half and half listenership. Yeah. Like, you know, it's probably like all the breweries are probably listening in to see if their brewery's been mentioned. And then, like, all the fucking gowlers are fast forward and not bit.
If you're a brewery, I tell you one way of getting a quick get mentioned every week. Give us a few pounds.
Right.
We'll change the name of the podcast and everything like that. Go on, good luck. Stay away from yourselves. We'll move on to the first topic. Right, guys, that was an interlude from our theme tune by Connor Dalton of Ghetto Amaretto. I bet you fuckers that haven't heard us in a couple of weeks were missing that. Lads, we're sitting here tonight in Grady's Yard having a few pints, and I have something I want to chat to you about. Do you know what I want? I'll come to you first.
Okay, yes.
Seeing as you have no fucking clue what you're going to talk about, I guess. Do you know what? And just to give the listeners a bit of insight into how we plan out the episodes, we're recording on Thursday night. Around a Monday or Tuesday, we have this chat and work, like, in the day job. So what we talk about this week, and one of us makes a suggestion, we say, yeah, that's great, like, good suggestion. We put it in our Google calendar so we both can see it, to think about it, and neither of us think about it until we're sitting here dawned with it. So, Owen, knowing full well you haven't thought about this one bit since we mentioned it on Monday or Tuesday, what is your most controversial sporting opinion?
Okay, so just to clarify what this is, because I robbed this from another podcast that was, what was your most controversial gaming opinion? So it was about video games and whatever. And So this was Kind of Funny Games. They're actually a San Fran based company. Like, they're doing very well. One of the boys on it was named Forbes 30 for 30 under 30. You know, that list of like successful lads under 30 years age.
We're running out of time for that.
We're running well out of time for that. But anyway,
yeah, 25 year old to make it in.
But anyway, when they said it, they kind of. Most of the people got the concept, but one of the lads on it didn't get it, and he kind of gave what he thought was controversial opinions that have been in sport.
Okay.
Right? Like, in general, whereas...
In gaming, right?
So he was just like, oh, fucking loot boxes in EA or... I don't know, whatever. Anyway, whereas I want what your actual... controversial opinion yourself is that you have, that you think, like, so, like, say, like, the opposite of a popular opinion in sporting, but that you think the opposite or whatever, right? So my one anyway is that I think that the purchase and the money that has been put into Man City has been the best thing ever for the Premier League. Has revolutionised the Premier League. So just to give, I just think basically, I don't have too much backing behind this opinion, right? But okay, forget about like history of clubs and all that, because it's not taken away. But I think that the quality of football since that has come in, that Man City have put the level of football onto a new tier above. Like, so prior to that, it was United, like, you know. And United were playing, and everyone was trying to beat United. It was kind of like the tactic of winning the Premier League, was trying to beat United. Whereas I think now that, like, Man City, like, developed, you know, put it, like, kind of developed a new kind of style of football, and like, obviously the money kind of helped and stuff. But like, I think the quality of the Premier League now is like absolutely phenomenal compared to what it was. And I think like that a lot of that is down to what happened with the money injection into Man City. Controversial or not?
Look, so just to give context to any new listeners that have watched your video, Owen's a Manchester United fan, I'm an avid Liverpool fan, and Dodd is fairly indifferent to soccer in general, but he kind of half throws an eye at it the odd time. I think your opinion is controversial in a sense, but what Man City have done is nothing, is just, they've taken what Chelsea did and put it on a grander scale.
Yeah.
Now, there are several elements to this, that it's very complicated. But take, for example, right, you're saying Man City now under Pep Guardiola breaking all records, fine. It's basically taken them 12 years to get there. They still haven't won a European Cup. Similar to PSG.
No, but so I'm saying they've been the best thing for the Premier League.
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying for them as a team.
I'm getting
like,
onto it though. That's it, right? So what I'm saying is, so if you look at the trajectory of Man City from when Sheikh Mansour took over, and I believe Stuart Pearce was the manager. And then they jibbed Stuart Pearce and Mark Hughes. Then they jibbed Mark Hughes for Mancini.
Yeah.
He won a league title.
Yeah.
They grew bit by bit. Mancini won a league title. Then they jibbed Mancini for Pellegrini. Pellegrini won maybe two league titles, maybe one. I think it's only one, actually. Yeah. If you think about Jose's three title rant. And then they've jibbed him and gotten Guardiola now, who, in my mind, is probably the best manager of the last 25 years. Simply because he has won more European Cups than Alex Ferguson. That in itself is probably a controversial sporting opinion, because Alex Ferguson dominated English football. But this leads me on, and it overlaps with my controversial opinion, which I'll come on to later. I won't delve on too much, but Man City, I completely agree with you, actually. because when you say it straight out, you're like, oh, they've bought the league, blah blah blah. They've only won three league titles, four league titles since the Sheikh Mansour took over. Manchester United won it up 5 years ago, 6 or 7 years after he took over, with possibly the worst squad to ever win the league. It was just, again, Alec Ferguson's genius won them that league. Like, that squad was diabolical. It's no wonder David Moyes was shit the next season. Like, he was shit in general. But he had fuck all to work with. Like, Fellaini was his best signing, and that was added to, like, Darren Fletcher and fucking an aging Michael Carrick in midfield. So, like, there's a lot of factors to it. A declining Arsenal, Chelsea, where Roman Abramovich is no longer interested. But what we've got now is a Premier League where there's six teams at the start of every season that are capable of winning the league, as opposed to, as you rightly point out, 10 years ago it was United, or 10 years ago it was United or Chelsea, 10 years before that it was United or Arsenal. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a controversial opinion, but it's a good one, because, like, the money they've injected, let's not, like, call a spade, Pep Guardiola has spent half a billion since he's gone there in 2.5 years, something in and around that. So his spending in relation to the other clubs, net spend, is, like, fucking vastly superior. But that being said, like, he's a genius on the field, so their most important investments have been in the training facilities and in getting the right coaches in, as opposed to the playing staff. Now, that being said, it's handy when you can spend 60 million on Riyad Mahrez and you're your fifth best attacker. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are perks to that. They can spend 100 million on fullbacks to revolutionise their fullbacks when Liverpool are getting an 8 million lad from Hull and a fella from their academy, and United are bringing in lads from Porto for 4 or 5 million. But that being said, as we talk right now, City are 4 points behind Liverpool in the league. So it doesn't guarantee success, but it definitely helps. So it's all part of the process. Sport is a lot more about money, but what Sheikh Mansour buying Man City has done, whether you agree with the background to the man or not, is it's made a league more competitive at the top, but in doing that has actually widened the gap between the middle and bottom teams and the top as well at the same breath.
Yeah, and I think on a basic level as well, that, like, you know, like, that extra money has attracted, like, the better players into the league, you know, like, as in, like,
do you remember when they signed Robinho?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Like, shit from, like, but he was,
I know, although he scored that unbelievable little dink over the keeper, like,
yeah, it's been a mad journey for them. Like, they've, like, let's be honest, David Silva has probably been the best player in the Premier League over the last 10 years.
Man.
Kev De Bruyne is probably the best player in the league right now.
That game, we went to that
City and Everton, and they didn't even win. They drew 1-1.
No, it was 2-0.
No, it's City. Our City and Everton. It was 1-1. Lukaku scored for Everton. And
no, it was a penalty and a header.
It was 1-1. They missed the penalty. I bet you a tenner. Shake on it.
Shake on it.
Dad, look up Man City versus Everton 2016. Anyways, a live bet here, podcasting history. It was definitely 1-1. Lukaku scored, and then Negredo headed it into the corner that we were sitting behind to equalise. At the Etihad.
No, that's Football League.
No, 2016-17. That probably gives you 2015-16. Anyways,
independent fact check.
This is tense now. This is tense. 1-1. Negredo and Lukaku. Oh, lad.
Anyway,
next round's on you. But no, I fully see where you're coming with, and they've attracted some fantastic talent. Like, but do you know what? Do you know what the thing about Man City's?
Two missed penalties.
Yeah, two missed penalties. The thing about Stecklenburg was the goalkeeper for Everton, guy from Ajax.
He's
back in the room. To be fair, we drank a heap of pints that day. We did a pub crawl from the City Stadium, which is outside Manchester City, ironically, and we basically pub crawled our way back into the city centre. We definitely weren't supposed to be at a conference that day. moving very swiftly along. No, I see what you want, but on the flip side, on the whole money argument, and the fact that, right, Liverpool went out and spent world record fees on a centre back and a goalkeeper, but they had to do that to keep up.
But fees are not now.
But back in the day when 50 million was an awful lot for a player, and 50 million was being lashed out by Barca, Madrid, City, PSG, probably their most important signing was Vincent Kompany. I don't know how much they signed him for, but they signed him from Anderlecht, I think, for about, I would say, anywhere between 4 and 8 million. It wasn't 30 million.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So their most important signing to ensure that they were regular title challengers for 10 years before he became plagued with injury was Vincent Kompany. Like, that man is such a leader and was such a great defender. Yeah. Like, Dodd, we're not coming to you because we know you fucking pretty much zero opinion on this.
Yeah, continue. I see the parallel, I suppose, between Virgil van Dijk and Liverpool this year. The difference at a good, solid Dutch tends to help centre-back. No, it seems once they sort him out at the back.
Todd's a fierce man for the Dutch.
That's it. No, Jesus, we won't go there now. That's another podcast altogether now. But I know I leave it to it as downsides for Liverpool. What's happening?
Yeah, and I suppose look on. That's some good Man City chat. Do you want to continue or will I, because it ties nicely into my one.
Go for it, yeah.
My opinion, and again, Dodd, you probably will have no input into this.
I'll get the next round.
Yeah, you get the, no, he's getting the next round. I want to turn it off. My opinion on my controversial sporting opinion is the myth that is that the Premier League being the best league in the world is a complete myth. And we had this, like, after we recorded the last episode, we went to the Woodman to watch Liverpool versus Man City. And after the game, we had a fairly heated debate, myself and Jamie Daly, about the strength of the Premier League and the competitiveness. And he was saying anyone could beat anyone. But when you look at it, Liverpool have played the 14 teams outside of the historical top six. So themselves, City, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal, United. Liverpool have played those 14 teams I don't know how many times they've played them, but they've won every game. They haven't dropped a single point against anyone that's not United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs. They haven't even dropped a point against United, but they dropped points against Chelsea, Arsenal and City so far this season. So if the Premier League is so competitive, Liverpool will be dropping points. Like City last year got 100 points. My point, what we said after that, was that you look at Serie A. Last year, Napoli got 92 points, I think it was, and didn't win the league. That's ridiculous. Like, you look at Spain, where Madrid and Barca have had a monopoly, but Madrid have had a monopoly in the European Cup but can't win a league because Barca keep winning the league. And then Atletico are so competitive and they keep making European Cup finals and semi-finals, but they can't win a league. It's ridiculously competitive at the top. Like, basically, the Premier League now is what La Liga was 10 years ago, where you had Barcelona, Real Madrid, Valencia were a great team at a time, Villarreal were pushing, Sevilla. Now the Premier League is that, where there's a lot of teams that can qualify for a Champions League. There's two or three teams that can realistically win the league, and the rest of the league is shite. Like Burnley tried to qualify for Europe, barely scraped past. Were they knocked out by Aberdeen, or did they barely scrape past? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's where I think the Premier League is now, that the bottom clubs have loads of money, don't know how to spend it, and the top clubs have so much more money that it's a bit disheartening. Like, look at Everton. They've spent so much money and they're 30 points. They've half Liverpool's points after 23 games.
Yeah. I don't know enough about, like, other leagues, like, as much because it's just because, like, say, the Premier League is, like, put in front of us in terms of, like, Sky Sports, like, BBC Match of the Day. Like, you know, we don't have fucking, you know, Mazzola did... Dietia, or whatever the fuck match of the day is.
Do you remember there used to be like Golazzo on Channel 4 and stuff like that? You could watch the highlights of Italian football when, like, Christian Vieri was around and fucking all them lads, like Alvaro Recoba bending them in for Inter Milan, and like Francesco Totti and all these Del Piero and all these boys, like Ronaldo playing with Inter Milan. I remember watching fucking football Italia and on Channel 4 and just seeing, like, the original Ronaldo, like, rinsing lads for fun. Do you know what I mean? And I think, couple that with, like, say the German League, Bayern Munich have, like, 10 times the budget of anyone, yet the German League is so competitive for in the middle section that it's one of those things where, right, Bayern Munich, even though they're not top of the league right now as we speak, but over the last 4 or 5 years since Klopp left Munich particular, or Dortmund particularly, the German League has been a league where, like, Schalke have some amazing young players, Leverkusen have some amazing young players, Mönchengladbach, and because they're bringing these young players through, they're inconsistent because they're young, but they're playing a lot of football, really good technical, and it's brilliant to watch, and the support is fantastic. And then you have Italy, where it's the football is actually starting to get exciting again. The big issue we have is, like, you know, modern ways of looking at sport, 11 sports now, it's another subscription to our service on top of Sky and BT for us. So I've no idea how La Liga is going this year, because I've just not been interested. And again, like that, like you said now, I am flooded with Premier League, and as someone who historically, like, I have the Bundesliga on BT, I've no interest in the French League, and that's on BT. But now I have no Italian League and no Spanish League to look at. It's a very, like, I just think But I think in looking at those leagues over the last few years, I think this myth that the Premier League is the best league in the world, the most, alright, it's probably the highest tempoed league in the world, the players are the highest paid players in the world and all that, but like Ronaldo left the Premier League 11 years ago, Messi's never played there. They're the two best players, two of the five best players of all time probably, and the best players of the last 10 years without a shadow of a doubt, every year in, year out. Kaká, before injuries, was Ballon d'Or winner, Champions League winner, like fucking rule everything for a couple of years. None of them played in the Premier League. So I just think it's this myth that we've been sold by Sky and we all believe it because it's what we've been told week in, week out.
Yeah, I don't think you can compare the Premier, like, I think the Premier League is more competitive than La Liga though.
I think it's more competitive than La Liga in like, a certain sense. But that being said, like, look at who Real Madrid have dropped points. And again, it's this thing that I've only seen it on social media, so I haven't seen the games.
Yeah.
But if you look at who Real Madrid have dropped points to this year.
Yeah, but Real Madrid are what, like fifth now?
Yeah, but they're also 3-time European champions and the only person they've lost is Ronaldo. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but like, as in, you could have said that about Liverpool, like, fucking, like, 10 years ago when Liverpool were 4-time, whatever, fucking.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Real Madrid have champions. Won the European Cup 3 times on the bounce. So Liverpool, when they won the European Cup 77 and 78, and 79 they weren't losing to Oxford Town, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, right, yeah. Oh yeah, but you could have said it about Liverpool 2006, like.
Yeah, but Liverpool 2005 finished 5th in the league.
Yeah.
Do you know, and they had, like, Jimmy Traore left that. They had no right to win that European. That was a complete fluke and anomaly.
Yeah.
So, whereas, like, Real Madrid have won the Champions League 3 years in a row. Like, they're probably the best club team. Maybe bar that Barcelona team where Messi was at his peak.
Yeah.
You're saying the Spanish league will put it up to them, in terms of competitiveness, by the fact that Madrid was struggling so much this year.
Yeah, but look, say for example Jurgen Klopp, when he got to the Europa League final with Liverpool, Sevilla beat him 3-1, and that Sevilla team came fourth in the La Liga that year. Do you know, it's not a great spot. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just thinking, like, La Liga teams, Bundesliga teams, Italian teams constantly go far in the Europa League, English teams don't. Maybe it's a prioritisation thing. When, like, Liverpool made the Champions League final last year. When was the last time a Premier League team made a Champions League final? Now, the flip argument to that is the Premier League's so competitive that Premier League teams prioritise that over Champions League. But there's no way Man City are prioritising a league over the Champions League, because all Sheikh Mansour wants to do, is bring it back to your point, is they want to be European champions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I think the fair listeners, that's probably enough soccer chat now.
Yeah.
That's just my controversial sporting opinion. It's one that I've had many a disagreement about, including a few weeks ago. Dodd, we come to you now. You've had very little input to this because you're not a soccer man, and I appreciate that, like many of our listeners. What's your most controversial sporting opinion?
There's money over there, still couldn't think of anything, so I think I'll bring it back to soccer. And one of my most favourite talking points now is Per Mertesacker is the greatest player ever to grace the Premier League. He's a staunch Arsenal man, he was through and through, but I just think those years of topping the pass statistics, I don't care how many of them were passed back to the goalie, maybe over 60% passed back to the goalie, but any man who can take 3 steps and go from midfield line back to his own 6-yard box, you know, I say he's a special place in my heart. You know, the good all two metres of him standing high and tall. If you ever stuck for in FIFA there playing with Arsenal, you know, if you need an old goal up at the end, take power up front, you know, he'd nod in an old header, he'd make a nuisance of himself, you know, so I'm not going to stay talking much longer now, lads.
World Cup winner as well.
World Cup winner as well, yeah. Not many lads in this pub can say that now anyway, so.
Is anyone in this pub is a World Cup winner, to be honest. Have you any opinions on Per Mertesacker?
Jesus, no, but like,
he may have minus 17 pace in FIFA 18.
I was going to say, possibly the slowest man of all time, but yeah. Even slower than me.
Yeah, he still takes 3 steps and he's anywhere on the pitch now. Well, 4 minutes, I suppose.
Greatest of all time is bit of a stretch, like, but
centre back, right? I'd settle for greatest centre back, though. Although I know Richard Dunne has been in the league for many years now. And
well, if anyone's in Moscow that night,
no, the honey monster in the true
form. God, I don't think I've ever thought about, like, Mertesacker at all in my life. Like,
it was controversial, right?
The only time I've ever probably thought about Per Mertesacker was I was out with a genuinely, right, I can't remember where I was, but I was with this I was out one night somewhere. It was in a fucking country pub somewhere. I could have been in Kerry somewhere or something away for a weekend. I met talking to these German lads. they were chatting up these young ones anyway, and we were sitting at the table next to them. We got chatting to them. Next thing, these girls were up at another table And I said, your man, he says, come here, and what will you do with your mom when you get her? He said, I'm going to perm her to soccer. Right, lads, we'll move on from that. And here's a word from our sponsors. Hi guys, my name is Dr. Simon Cahoon and I'm the Real Life Doctor on Instagram, at the Real Life Doctor. Follow me for advice and tips on your diet and exercise plans, and also for anything tan related. You can follow me for these great tips on Instagram at the Real Life Doctor. I'm not one of those pricks who puts up pictures of his own six pack. Instead, I'll show you informative posts that'll give you the tools to be a better version of yourself. The only six pack I'm interested in is kept in the fridge. Follow at the Real Life Doctor on Instagram. Sorry, I've had a few pints. Dr. Simon Calhoun, over and out. And the one that wants to be with you, deep inside I hope you feel it too. Right, guys, and we're back in the room, and
thanks, Simon. That's fucking excellent, man.
Thanks.
Thanks
to Simon.
There's
there.
No need for that, like, you know.
Yeah, sponsoring the show, the Real Life Doctor. He's a fucking top man, very well spoken. Great lads.
Yeah.
We're back in the room, lads. Anyway, and do you know what, Todd? I'm going to come to you with this one first, as you sent a lad a text on Snapchat there. Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Jesus. That's a tough one. I suppose in Galway circles, I met Super Mac. If you want to go Pat McDonough, you know, the winner of the recent High Court case, now I go up against Super Mac or up against McDonald's. Although a lot of people in Galway aren't happy now, saying that he's a crusher of small businesses around Deer Square, but we won't go into that right now. I suppose I met a few Galway hurling legends, if you want to go into it. Met Bernard Jackman actually inside in Dicey's up in Dublin. Pretty sure the country brought me pint actually as well now.
Actually, I'm laughing because when we were coming up with this topic, I said straight away to one, I bet you all Dodd's answers will be Galway related.
There would have been, but I said I'd try and mix it up this time. Yeah, so I met Bernard Jackman. I was in second year in college inside and out the back of Dicey's there, and he was there with just a couple of his friends. So I don't know their rugby playing days or maybe his sort of whatever he's doing now and sort of corporate life days, going on to different sorts of events and stuff like that now. But went on, yeah, got the picture and all right.
Surely,
and I
surely 5 years ago, no, he was rugby playing 5 years ago. Like.
No, Bernard Jackman, no, he's out of it a while now, I'd say, at this stage, because I would have been in, I think I was in second year of college, maybe in first year, I'm fucking now. Yeah, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 years ago, max now, inside in Dicey's, went over, got the picture, that was grand. I know, he was drinking the same as me, you know, that night. I think I was still on the cider back then. And I'd only a small bit left of me. Yeah, pint of Bulmer's there. And oh no, he'd only a small bit left. I had a full pint of one. We're going away back to the table after taking the picture. And only positively picked up my pint and walked away again. And that was the best ever since.
Classic.
So,
classic. That's amazing, man.
I'd say just never meet your heroes. Well, not that he's ever a hero of mine, or I don't know, is he ever a hero of any young lad playing. Keith Woods, I suppose, is the epitome of Irish rugby hookers. But yeah, just stay away from Bernard Jackman, as I hope. That's all I'd say.
What I'm taking from that is don't have a hooker as your hero. Call a spade a spade. Don't have a hooker as your hero. Like Rory Best wouldn't be your hero, like, would he?
Nah, that's because it's Rory Best. Not a bad lad, no, I heard.
Probably not, yeah.
He's a breed of a tannin, I'm right again. No,
yeah, so just there's a touch of tan about the lad.
Nothing against him personally, no. But,
yeah, I know. If we were the Irish Simpsons fans, the admin, we'd have turned commenting off 5 comments ago.
Things are really taking a turn now again.
Yeah, we're back to the tans. Do you know what? Simon brought us onto that fucking topic. That's what happened. That was fucking right, Bernard Jack. Bernard, I fucking knew you'd have an obscure answer. Oh, and who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Most famous. So probably. Sorry, I had to take that off later. So I met David De Gea.
Yeah.
Outside Tiger in Manchester. He's in the club there, and I met him outside it.
It's not the Tiger that sells €2 stuff.
No, just Tiger, not Tiger.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. Which is renamed as Flying Tiger now. Have you noticed that? Yeah. But no, this is Tiger, some cheap old student place. Okay. I didn't know why he was in there, but anyway, he was.
Young ones.
Allegedly. Yeah. So I met him outside of there and absolutely hounded him for about chasing down the road. But that's not my answer.
Nelson Mandela.
I made
I met Jack Charlton in a chipper in Waterford. He was opening up a Harry Ramsden's down there in the Dunmore Road in Waterford. And myself and the dad went in, and we shook hands with him, you know. Hi, yeah, how are you? So yeah, no, Jack was sound now. Who else? I was telling the boys earlier on that I met Rob Carney when I was scuttered during my graduation there.
Yeah, Jack. No, if he met Rob Carney in the balcony, he wouldn't be sitting like that right now.
Yeah, no.
Allegedly. For listeners that couldn't see there, I was in bits of that Jack Charlton story. I was fucking haunched over. That was.
Oh yeah, no, that
the
was
the most you and Liam Tabking ever. Like, yeah. Were you in the queue for the chipper or what?
No, he was opening it. He was opening. Like, he was there cutting into the tape. Like, you know, myself and Dad went down to see him. Met Rob Carney. Got a photo taken of him. Scutter drunk for me graduation. He opened the Shelbourne there once. But my answer is, I met Bertie O'Hearn on the senior field in De La Salle, my secondary school, right? So it was the middle of summer, and me and the boys, it was the year, remember the year that Ireland got to the Cricket World Cup?
Yeah.
And we bet Pakistan, and the coach died afterwards, committed suicide.
Get to the quarterfinal or something?
We got to the quarterfinal or something anyway, right? So me and the boys, obviously, were we 15 or 16 around that age or so? We all got into cricket then, like, you know, just like the boy, we got one of the boys had a cricket set or something bought from Argos. Like,
oh, you knew calling the boys tans earlier.
No. This was sure the boys were sound, like. And so anyway, we were down the senior field playing cricket, and we were absolutely lashing the ball around or whatever. We had a notion. One of the boys was wicket keeper. He had a notion. He couldn't catch anything, like. Like the ball, like, you know the way when the ball, like, goes past the wickets, like the wicket keeper is meant to catch your throw, like, so, like, every time, like, the ball would go past him, the boys just start running, like.
He's smoking a fag.
But anyway, so we were in the middle of this game anyway, and next minute, this fucking helicopter, like, fucking Celtic Tiger now, like, helicopter lands, like, in the middle of the pitch, like, breaks up our game. Bertie comes off the helicopter anyway with a few of the boys, like, whatever, and, like, tears over to the group of us anyway, and, like straight, he fucking made a beeline for us, straight over, and he's just like,
how are you lads,
right, fucking shook the hands, right, are you watching the match tonight, and just fucking pelted off afterwards. United, I think United were playing or something later on that night, like, but He like, even in that meeting, like, that brief meeting in him, with him, like, you knew he was a politician, like, you knew, like, he came over, but, like, he came over, he saw a load of lads in, like, sporting gear, he knew exactly what conversation to have with you for those few seconds that would, like, intrigue you a bit, and then be able to move on.
He jibbed, like, you before you could get
he would have. He jibbed us, like, after getting kind of like a good atmosphere going in the area, you know. So I was very impressed with Bertie's, like, Bertie's kind of not him as a person, but Bertie's, like, ability to be a politician. Like, anyway, yeah, that's mine.
I'd like to caveat that whole spiel with saying when this was what, 2005, 2006, like, this is pre. Like, busting all the, like, truth coming out. So, like,
imagine fucking Leo got a helicopter down to Waterford now. He'd be fucking out, bro. Oh my god.
Leo, if you're listening, and I know you're probably an avid listener, don't get a helicopter to Waterford for anything.
What are you drinking tonight?
Yeah, what are you drinking tonight? They're not the biggest fan of you down here, but. Look. Cardiac care and all that, sure, we could. That's a podcast in itself. Do you know what? I'll go on a couple of levels.
Level of Hayne.
Level of Hayne, a national icon. who I was lucky to know growing up through my whole childhood, and I ended up actually playing with the chap.
Phil Linnett,
yeah. I wish. Sean O'Gahalpin, from a sporting point of view, hurler. If our overseas listeners don't know who Sean O'Gahalpin is, look up, just YouTube Lecra Gael Sean O'G, and it'll come up. He's probably the only Sean O'G in Lecra Gael.
Google Sean O'Gahalpin, so yeah. Well, probably be in the top.
I'm not sure a lad in fucking Carolina be able to spell O'Gahalpin, like, but
Or O'G,
yeah. Best of luck, lads. But the gas thing about O'Gi was
Was Ogie his nickname?
Yeah, Ogie. The guy's thing about Ogie was...
Look.
Except for Ogie, got on well. The guy's thing about Ogie was, he basically, like, so he grew up in the north side of Cork City, but moved there when he was 11 from Sydney, Australia, like, and I'll put it this with you, there wasn't that many lads who weren't Caucasian around. He had a tough upbringing, and... the best way to epitomise him was, as Micheála Muirthurtaí said in I think it was the 1999 All-Ireland Hurling Final, when he said, his father from Fermanagh, his mother from Fiji, neither a hurling stronghold. What an absolute athlete, and what a hurler as well. Ogie, I didn't just meet him, I grew up around him and knew him well growing up. I was lucky enough, he's about 10, 12 years older than us, like, so maybe 14 even. But it was a privilege to know him growing up and stuff. And, you know, when you meet him now, he's still a gentleman. I also grew up playing underage sports against Simon Zeebo, who actually, while he comes across on sometimes through his sporting exploits as this kind of cocky, overconfident lad, is actually a very decent chap. Very, very decent chap. Like, Zeebo is sound out and a really nice guy. I played hurling football against him. I remember one thing I remember Zeebo is his father is from the Mauritius, I think, but grew up in France, so they'd be, like, his father would be big into French sports, which explains a lot of why Zeebo chose to go to France to play rugby as well, because he speaks fluent French. And Ireland under 21s played France under 21s in Turner's Cross when I was about 14 or 15, and I remember going to Turner's Cross and being opposite the shed end of Turner's Cross, the other end, and away fans used to be down to that end in the corner, the opposite stand. And Zeebo was in with the French crowd and all his and a couple of some of his family, and they were chanting all the French chants the whole night, going mad. And Zeebo was there giving it the big one to us the whole night at 14, 15. Like, he had that kind of self confidence and that kind of, do you know what it is? And I have to commend him for it. It's that assurity of knowing this is who I am, like, being comfortable in his own skin and expressing himself. Like, he was great for that. So. Simon Zeebo, he's quite a famous person now, and he was a great chap to know growing up as a teenager. And but the most famous person I've ever met, bar none, is I met him at the peak of his powers as well.
Bertie Ahern.
No, absolutely not. No, not him either. In transition year, on the doing, we went to Barcelona on a school tour.
Tony Adams.
Nearly, and. And as we were going around the stadium anyway, we come to the tunnel part of the tour, we walk up the tunnel, next thing Ronaldinho steps out, this is 2006, like, when he's like the main man, steps out, and we're walking down the tunnel in the new camp of Ronaldinho. He's going out to film an advertisement for Nike. Do you know the one where he's like chesting him? Do you know the one he's volleying off the crossbar, man? We're stood at the sideline of the new camp watching Nike video that with Ronaldinho there.
It's
Ah!
Did he actually do it? Did he ping it off the crossbar?
Yeah, he did that in one take. I was there, one take. Fact. There's a grotto halfway down the tunnel at New Camp, and he knelt in front of the grotto and said a prayer. And I was standing right in front of him, like an ignorant bastard, with my hand on his shoulder, just shouting, "Ronaldinho, Ronaldinho, Ronaldinho!" I was like, do you know when you're 15, 16, and sport is everything, Jan? He was the pinnacle of sport at that time. That was absolutely out of this world. So. Ronaldinho is probably the most famous person I've met, and what a fucking footballer. Anyway, lads, that's the end of that segment. Right, guys, so that's been a fucking another fantastic episode of Snooker. I've really enjoyed tonight. It's been fantastic being alongside Owen as ever. There he is, like, he's a geisha fucker. And
a geisha?
Yeah. An absolute
only on
one. Only on the weekends. A wonderful episode in an absolute fabulous spot with fabulous company. Dodd, brilliant having you on again. Listen, you're off to San Fran, but anytime you're home, get in touch with us. And listen, you're great having a podcast. We'd love to record you again.
Ah, yeah, it's great to be back here again. As I said, I called down to now night in Waterford. It's a spot that's close to my heart now. He's a Galway man, college in Dublin, and ended up down in Waterford just by chance. Ran to these two four fuckers here now, right? Working them for 6 months, but two some lads just down with now. So yeah, Waterford, great pub scene, great port, great people now. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be back again now, and I'll talk to you not too long again. Yeah.
Three P's. Porter, pubs and people. Listen, Dodd, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure having you on. Best of luck with everything in San Fran, and sure, we'll see you again soon. Owen, season 2 of the Smokecast is up and running, and we've got videos and all now.
Yes, we have videos. I am the video man.
Listen, lads, like, follow, listen, subscribe. Thanks a million for bearing with us. We love you loads. Sláinte.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.